This is a production of Cornell University.
GPSA meeting August 31st, 2009.
So on behalf of all of the 2009 I'd like to welcome you all for coming today. So it's the first meeting of the year for the advisory body. I know everyone's really busy during this time of year, so thanks for making time for this during your busy schedules. And we hope that today's meeting will help us kick off this year's events and activities successfully. If you haven't already done so, please make sure to pick up a copy of the agenda, a list of the voting members, and the upcoming meetings list here. And there's also a sign-in sheet. If you just sign in, then I'll go ahead and start passing this around.
Thank you. Maybe just grab a few of those and pass them through. No matter. Back. Pass them in. So how many of you in this room are field representatives from your various fields within the grad school? And how many of you are visitors from the grad school thinking about becoming more involved in the student government? Excellent. And just one word is your field may have a field representative. Those of you that raise your hand are looking to becoming more involved in GPSA, but if it doesn't, or if you don't know, you can see us afterward, or you can check on our website, the GPSA website. Just go into Cornell in the search engine, type like GPSA, and you'll find it. So, back to Erica.
Okay, great. So for today's meeting, first we'll have brief introductions by all of the GPSA leadership, including the Office of Assemblies and the Graduate School and Student Trustees, and friends of the GPSA. That will be about 15 minutes. Then we'll have executive updates, so the three of us will go ahead and update you on what we've been working on, a little bit of brief history about GPSA and so on, and how you can get involved. Then we'll have some elections for the remaining open assembly seats, and finally we'll have some breakout sessions where we hope to break up into small groups and go over a survey where we hope to get your opinions about what kinds of issues you want to see discussed in these meetings for the year. And we're kind of using the Ivy Summit and the topics that we're discussing for the Ivy Summit as a base. And we'll talk a little bit more about the Ivy Summit later. So, so I'll just go ahead and introduce myself. My name is Erica Gutierrez, and I am a second-year city and regional planning student. I'm this year's executive vice president, and I'll be running these advisory meetings. Of which we will have four this semester, so three more after this. And I think Brian and Matt and I all agree that we sort of want these meetings to be more conversational, more discussion meetings, so that everyone's participating and we can discuss matters of concern to students in a way that sort of there's dialogue. So I've introduced myself, and I don't know if you want to...
Sure. As you can see here, my name is Michael Evanson. You see on the bottom of the green sign that a few of us have, says we represent a certain area. So the grad school is, more or less, programmatically split, somewhat arbitrarily split in some cases, into different areas. Biological sciences, physical sciences, social sciences, and the humanities. So we can tell you if you don't know where your field fits within that, but there's three or four representatives from each area within the grad school on the as the voting members. So if you have concerns straight off that you're not able to discuss this meeting or you want to talk to someone further about it, one place to go might be to speak with your voting representative. And like Erica said, I'm the president. I will play less of a role in these meetings. I play more role in the other GVFA meetings. We have two meetings per month. One is the voting council. One is the advisory body. And so at the voting council, we actually vote on some of the stuff that we'll be talking about and debating and discussing at these meetings. And so that's my role in this organization.
I'm Brian Forster. I'm a fourth-year graduate student in microbiology, and I'm this year's vice president of operations. And a little later on during executive updates, I'll talk more about what exactly my job is here in GVFA.
Okay, so now we'd like to have the Office of Assembly staff introduce themselves.
Ari Epstein, I'm the Assistant Director of the Office of Assembly. You won't be seeing me at all of the GPSA meetings because Jimmy O'Donnell, who's about to introduce herself, is the primary support. But,
if you just want to say something,
just say
a little bit about the relationship between your office and GPSA.
We provide administrative support for GPSA, so record-keeping services, anything having to do with GPSA's finances or any other physical resources it has. We provide advice about process issues or who to go to in the university to get help with a particular issue. We also maintain a variety of information reservoirs about historical practices or best practices. And actually, maybe we can attach to the minute. We did an orientation this year, which included the GPSA voting members, but not the non-voting members. And that presentation is available online. That might help you learn a little bit more about how the GPSA relates to the rest of the university.
And Brian's actually going to be talking a little bit more later about the GPSA committees and committees that you can become involved in to serve the graduate school and the graduate student government in more focused ways and ways other than being a field representative or in addition to being a field representative. And the Office of Assemblies does a lot of work with our standing and ad hoc committees.
I'm Amy O'Donnell, and I attend all the GPSA meetings and coordinate 10,000 copies of the book and
So thank you so much for that. Yes, and without your support, I mean, thank you for your support during the meeting. And okay, so next we'll have the Dean Hubble, if you'd like to go.
Along with Brenda and other members of the faculty and staff, I provide support and advice to the work of the assembly. In my years as a dean of students, the GPSA has become increasingly important and valuable to the university of South Students. The Graduate Community Initiative, a whole variety of other things that graduate students, the GPSA brought to the administration have proven to be extremely important, not only to graduate students. I have no doubt that you all would continue in that tradition. There's lots of work to do, and you are an important representative voice for one-third of the student population. And let you forget, undergraduates are only two-thirds of the student population. So you have an important constituency to represent in doing the work. I welcome your advice and counsel, and will be your advocate when issues come up that need to be presented to the university's executive staff. My role as dean of students is one where I have a role in advocating for student issues across campus, the administration, and faculty. So I do that for all students, and likewise, the Office of the Dean of Students really is in existence for all students. So I welcome you to get to know us and resources as you go through your career as graduate students. So thank you for all the good work that you'll do, and I'm at your service as you see fit. Sometimes I find that my contribution is sort of proportionate to how quiet I can be. So I'll try to come to as many meetings as I can, but in town I'll be able to meet.
get to know from you along the way as many as I can.
Great, thank you. I'm not sure if Peggy Beach is here today.
No.
No, okay. No. And Brenda Wick, would you like to introduce yourself? Yes.
Dean Howard isn't here, so I guess I'm going to go over to see if I can. I'm Brenda Wick. I'm Assistant Dean for Graduate Student Life in the graduate school. My role in interaction with GCSA is just one of mutual benefits and pleasure. I really enjoy coming to most all of the meetings and also just being available on an advisory or ad hoc basis when committees or other issues and topics come up. I have a few ideas for some of the topics we might be involving ourselves with this year, but my door is always open and there's still an opportunity for some sharing of office space if the officers are interested. I just got moved to a suite on the third floor of Caldwell Hall, 325 Caldwell Hall, and I welcome anybody to come by and talk about graduate student life or graduate student issues.
Great, thank you. And we also have some student trustees. Please, Mike Walsh.
Hi, everybody. My name is Mike Walsh. I'm actually a PhD candidate in the Department of Biological and Environmental Engineering. It's my fifth year here at Cornell. I'm hoping to finish up sometime soon. And as Erica said, I'm one of the two student license trustees here at Cornell. The other one, eighth grade, he's a junior government major. Unfortunately, he couldn't make it today, but that's been the best wishes. Anyways, you're probably asking yourself, what is a student trustee? Well, one of the greatest things about Cornell is, you know, just how open we are. And we're the only Ivy League school that actually has two student members serve as full voting members of the board of trustees. It's overarching governing body that basically has supreme control of the university. So, one can actually, you know, be probably the most powerful person in this room, but I don't want to add too much. And as a student trustee, I basically go to a whole bunch of meetings each year, sit around a table with about 62 other alumni, 62 other, you know, people, most of whom are actually pretty influential alumni at the university. And we discuss, you know, a lot of these things that are important to the university, a lot of student life issues, a lot of governance issues, a lot of financial issues. And we actually, because we're such a big board, we break stuff down into a whole bunch of number of committees. And I serve on about five of them, I think, one of which is probably the most important to all of us, student life, but also academic affairs, buildings and properties, governance relations, alumni affairs, and a sixth, the trustee committee communications committee. That's more of a town-down committee. What are the things that I'm pushing out to student trustee? Well, two big issues to me are going to be really important this year. And one is the Cornell Climate Action Plan, and you're actually going to hear a presentation from me and a couple of members of the Facilities Department. That's September 27th meeting?
September 21st.
21st, I get those dates right. Anyways, I've been working for the past few years helping to fulfill Cornell's commitment to the American Colleges and Universities President of Climate Commitment to develop a climate action plan. Now this plan is going to actually be our roadmap on how we reduce our greenhouse gas emissions down to zero. In about 2 weeks, it's going to be going in front of the Board of Trustees. I'm going to be arguing pretty strongly that we passed that, and I'm really excited for that meeting. But after that, we're going to be going around the campus and basically describing this kind of community. I'm very much looking forward to showing it here at GCSA. The other big point of big issue on my agenda is the reimagining Cornell campaign. You all might have read today's Cornell Daily Sun and just saw a couple articles discussing the strategic plan that the university is going to be going through over the next couple of months. And I find this a very important time for all of us to really be vigilant and involved, you know, in the issues that we're concerned about in the type of university we want to see come out of this whole strategic planning process. And I'm going to finish up by saying it's great to see this many people here. I've been involved in campus governance for the past 5 years. I served as the vice president and secretary of GCSA before. It's a great, great opportunity to get involved, get to know some people outside of your department, and really do, you know, a good deal of service to the university and graduate professional community. You know, these guys, three of them have done a great job already,
thank
and
you.
Community leadership, team efforts, we're all on the same team.
Thank you so much. Okay.
I just want to take a moment and reiterate what Mike said about coming to the presentation he'll be giving along with some members of the facilities department at the September 21st meeting. That's the voting council meeting where we debate resolutions and pass the resolution that we have talked about within this setting. We won't be speaking about a resolution that I'm sponsoring, perhaps with some other members of the voting council, on the sustainability and endorsing the climate action plan put forth by Mike and the other members of the Climate Action Committee. But that will be occurring at the September 21st meeting, so if you're interested in those issues, please do come to hear his presentation and to see the resolution that the grad students are putting forth, and to comment on that if you wish.
Okay, actually, so now we're going to have a little bit more of a background on GPSA. There were many changes that went on last year with the Constitution, and Matt Hosh is going to go ahead and talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah, just briefly. We restructured last year via the GPSA Charter, which is our governing document, some of the, I guess, are some of the ways that this body is run, and I guess, and how it presents itself. So some of the major changes, probably which affects you the most, is that there used to be a body which was sort of like this body, which is called the Council of Representatives. So if you see that term, I see it still in literature. Things haven't been updated. If you see Council of Representatives, it's basically akin to what goes on in these meetings. But along with the restructuring, it used to be that these meetings were primarily you being spoken to, as opposed to speaking. And in that restructuring, we've tried to change that about a little and make it more of a time for you to talk. Now, that's not indicated by what's going on right now, but hopefully after we get some introductory nonsense out of the way, you guys will be able to speak your mind a little more, and to actually, in future meetings of the year, when we have issues on the table, to discuss the issues and make your voice heard. Another major change is that the Finance Commission, which is basically the treasury of the grad school, well, first it's important that you know that you pay a student activity fee, like on your bursar account, and you have to pay online, and it says like $35, and you're like, someone just stole $35 from me. Like, what happened? That no one actually stole it. It goes to the grad student government, and we redistribute it to a number of organizations that provide valuable student services for us throughout the year, like for example, we sponsor Cornell Athletics, and they give us the Big Red Sports Pass, which allows us to get into most Cornell athletic events free throughout the year. Cornell Cinema has subsidized tickets. There's a lot of other organizations like this. And most of the meetings this year, your opportunity to discuss at these meetings will be listening to these organizations present on how much money they think they should be getting and why. And it would be very helpful to have you here and to comment on that, to rigorously question them. There is the possibility that there will be a lot of more money asked for than maybe we can hand out this year due to some of the economic situations and maybe some of these organizations receiving cuts in other areas of the university. So I think it will be really important that we have a good representation of grad student interests when we decide how to allocate these funds this year. So that's one of the major issues that's going to be taking place at these meetings. Another change that's been made in the Finance Commission, receives 35% of the student activity fee each year. And that is a commission that's administered within this organization itself. And so we take applications from smaller student groups that are asking for 1,000 here, 1,000 there, maybe 2,000, for funding of special events, maybe an academic symposium, maybe an ethnic dance performance, things like that. So one of the changes we made in that commission this past year was to create a special funding category for fields, for academic fields. So, for example, Mike is from biological and environmental engineering. And so if his field has a field organization, then that organization can apply for money to do special activities within their field. And I know that might be a valuable thing for a lot of you and your fields due to maybe perhaps budget cuts in the university. So if you want to apply for funds, you can do that through our Finance Commission. But remember that one of the rules is you have to have a field representative. So if your field is unrepresented, I encourage you to become your field representative. And I think that's all I've got for now, right?
Thank you. Okay, so
I'll be very brief. I'll be running these advisory meetings. I'm also responsible for trying to recruit more representatives, so we'll be working on that throughout the semester. We've still got several seats that need to be filled. If you're here today for the first time, make sure to follow up and email me so I can get you on the listserv and to follow up with the appropriate personnel in your respective fields to make sure that you're elected to the position. And so you can come here and represent your field and voice your concerns and go back and, you know, report to your field what goes on in these meetings. And as the vice president, I'm also responsible for the communications committee. So once a month or twice a month, you'll get a GPSA info, and it just goes through what we've talked about in some of these meetings and various activities that are going on campus that are affecting you as graduate students. And finally, I just want to talk about the Ivy Summit. That's sort of a special event that's happening this year. It's an annual event that happens at different Ivy League schools, and we have a steering committee that's involved that has been working on that all summer. That's just something that we've been working on for the summer. It's happening on October 8th and 9th. It's actually not an open invitation. It's a relatively closed event. For the members of the GPSA at different schools or their respective sort of governance bodies. But if you have any questions about that, we'd love to, you know, there's still time to sort of get feedback, and that'll be part of the discussion session later on this afternoon. Okay, and that's all for me.
We do have a website that has information about the Ivy Summit that's posted off our GPSA website, which, if you don't know, assembly.cornell.edu/GPSA. Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, as I already mentioned, so for the GPSA, there is a voting council and an advisory body. Also part of the GPSA is different committees. So, these committees focus on specific issues that affect graduate and professional students, as well as there are also other assemblies that have committees and a university committee. So my role with the GPSA this year is making sure that all of the committees that are open to graduate and professional students are staffed. So now you're interested. Hopefully. What I'm going to do is pass around the list of all the committees that are currently open to graduate and professional students. The top half of the paper is the committees that have already contacted the GPSA, letting them know that they are interested in a graduate professional student working with them. The bottom half, typically we staff them, but they haven't contacted us yet. So basically what happens is, if you're interested in a committee, you fill out a simple application. As the Vice President of Operations, I am also the Chair of Operations and Staffing Committee, so we review your application, and then we staff you on the committee. Okay. And basically, as a committee member, you're serving as a conduit. You're bringing issues from the committee to the GPSA, and you're bringing issues that come up at GPSA meetings back to your committee. Okay. Online, and I will send this out tonight through the listserv, is a listing. It's similar to what you have in front of you. It's a listing of all the committees that are open and links to their application and their website if you're interested in joining. So the sheet that I passed out, just so we can start to get an idea, if you could go ahead and put your name on it and just check off if you're interested in any of the committees. You're not signing away anything. It's not a full dedication. It's just so we can start to get an idea of who's interested in what for committees. Yes?
Is the number of positions open in these committees?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. So there's some that are, there's one that's two, parentheses one. There are typically two positions for that committee, but it's one is always elected at a time, so there's always one current graduate student at any given time. So even though there are two for that committee, only one is open at that time. Okay? So you can fill that out. As you can see, there is a wide list. I think 40 is the total. And sometimes either you know, before breakout or at the end of the evening, if you could hand it in to one or three of us, and we'll get back to you about possibly getting on a committee.
If you have friends in your field that have expressed interest at all in the student government that may not have been able to make it tonight, or friends even outside of your field, please pass this information on to them. This is one of the best ways to be able to get involved and really target your interests within the GPSA without necessarily dedicating a ton of time, but to be able to focus on interests that really matter to you.
Yes.
How are you going to pass on this information to our colleagues?
What I will do when I send it out to you, will ask that you please forward it to your fields as well. So, yes.
Is there a place where we can find any more information on what these committees are?
Yes. So when I send out the link tonight, the page that you'll see, so let me go back. So you'll get a copy of this page tonight, and each committee is linked to their website. So you can see their website and then also their application form. So, and most of the websites are kept well up to date, so you know what they're currently working on at the time. Yeah?
And if we go back to the diagram that you have before that shows up this one,
does
it mean if we apply to one of these,
we will
just
see
the committees
and
not in the
advisory? Well, it would be, no, it
would
be both. So,
that's an extra.
Yeah. So last year I was a member of, so right now I'm a member of communications as well. So yes, I'm on the GPSA in one of those, but I can also be on the committee. Someone else have a question? Yeah.
This is just like a wish list of the final line?
Yeah. It's a wish list and for us to start and say who's interested in what. You know, so we know which committees we need to encourage more.
Similarly, last year I served on a committee and I also served as a field representative, so you can also do that as well.
So joining a committee has nothing to do with whether you are or you're not on the GPSA advisory body or the voting. Separate. Okay. So in the interest of time, I'll be around afterwards, so if you have any questions, then I look forward to seeing what you're interested in. Thank you.
Okay, great. Okay, so we're still running on time. Now we have an election. We have four open assembly seats, and we're looking for two master's degree students to join, or and the other two are two at-large seats. So Nighthawk's going to go ahead and go over that.
Just before Nighthawk goes into it, so the other thing, as VPO, I also have the charter. So, Nighthawk will go into it a little more, but two of the seats that are open tonight must be given to master's students. And one of the master's student seats must be from an engineering field. Okay? Those positions stay open till October, in which case other things happen. But.
Yeah. Very good. So, yeah, here's the deal with the seats is. The two at-large seats that are open, if you know how I mentioned that, like biological sciences, physical sciences, social sciences, humanities, if those seats aren't filled during the elections in April, they revert to at-large seats. And so then at the beginning of this year, anyone who wants to can run for those. So if you're a master's student, you can also run for an at-large seat. But if for the master's student seats, the master's students have to run for those. The people that are eligible to run for these seats are people who are, representatives of their field. So if you were last year representative of your field, or you have recently been elected or appointed by your DGS as the representative for your academic field, you can run for any position. And what the responsibilities of the position involve is that you would come to two meetings a month, so you'd not only be coming to these meetings, but you'd also be coming to the voting council meetings. And it's really important, particularly for the voting council meetings, that you are there. I mean, it's not that, you know, we're going to come looking for you if you're not there, but we expect your presence at those meetings in order to have a quorum present so we can pass the resolutions that are important to this body and, I guess, get the word out about our organization and make our presence known on campus. So, are there any questions about further responsibilities or... I mean, again, you can... Go ahead.
I have a general question. We're from the Hamilton Center. Yes. And one of us was, but then they
let us
all question.
Mm-hmm. So,
is that
not true? So here's what the deal is with that. If the person who is, if you have one field representative, yeah, if you have one field representative, the field representative, if that person is elected to become, have like a green placard, which means you're on the voting council, then you can have another representative from your field then elected to fill the field representative seat. Because the animal science, it's in the biological sciences, so if an animal science representative were to be elected to the voting body, then that person would become a representative of the biological sciences and therefore vacate the seat open for animal science. Is that clear? Okay. Sir?
So for
unless you are the field representative, you cannot apply to be on the voting council at this point. If your field is represented, but you don't see someone here from your field, I would go back to your field and make sure that person is still currently filling the position. Because some of our records may not be updated by students who didn't tell us they were graduating, because the fields themselves have to tell us who the representatives are. We're not in charge of elections for the individual fields. So it could be that we think there's a member from your field, but the person has become inactive over the summer or something.
But if these representatives do not want to do for these things, do not want to go for voting, so all the people do not be represented, or there's no chance for others from the field to apply for this.
I mean, you could run against the current field representative, but otherwise, no. You have to be a field representative in order to run to be on the voting council. But I mean, it depends how your field handles elections. Some fields appoint field members, some fields elect field members. And so you'd have to check with them, and if you wish to run it, or if someone from your field wishes to run against the current field representative, then you'd have to look at that within your own electoral structure. Anyone else? Do we have anyone interested in filling one of the master's degree seats? How about the master's degree seat from an engineering field? You can nominate yourself, you can have someone else. Someone else can nominate you.
You have to have a representative.
You have to be a field representative. Yeah, you have to be a field representative. And if we don't fill these seats at this meeting, then we'll just elect them at next meeting. The one in October 5th. So, is there anyone interested in running for the other master's degree seat that doesn't have to be from an engineering field? Yes?
But I do have a question for that. Our
okay.
representative last year didn't talk to my field yet. I guess I could imagine that if you were representative last year, then I could apply, but I guess I still need the approval from my director before I leave.
Well, I mean, if you were the field representative last year and your field hasn't held an election, if they haven't held an election yet, then you're still the representative.
Okay.
Okay. And what is your name?
Miriam.
Miriam. What's your surname? Okay, so we have Miriam running for the position. And anyone else like to run? Yeah.
Mila.
What is it?
Mila.
So we have Mila. And your surname?
K-U-N-D-U.
K-U-N-D-U. Okay. So we have Miriam and Mila. Would anyone else like to run for the master seat? On the
what their master's, what programs they represent.
Oh, yes, please. Please. Well, I mean, you'll have a time to speak for yourself, but go ahead.
Animal
science and?
Real estate.
Real estate. Okay. So,
yes. So, you're from, we're from City and Regional Planning, and I was the rep
mm-hmm.
last year. And so we haven't voted in, we haven't had elections yet for,
mm-hmm.
so we need to discuss that at one of the future meetings for our field. Before you can run.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who's not currently a field representative, if there are offices still open at the October meeting, you could run then, or as they become available in the spring, you could run then. Anyone else running for a master's degree seat currently? Seeing none, I will entertain a 1-minute speech from Miriam first, since she spoke first, about why she would like to run for the position. Miriam, please speak up very loudly because of the bells, particularly. And you can come up front if you want, yeah, wherever.
Hi, everybody. I'm not prepared for anything. I'm in the research program. I'm also working for infection quality architecture as well as a business school. I'm also working for the admission program, so I'm working with students, incoming students, staff students, working on the arrival of the anchors, making sure everything is okay, and I'm usually the liaison between students and the director and all the staff in the office. And then, like I say, I'm not shy, if I believe in something, I'm good for it, and the accent is good on my friends.
Thank you. 1-minute speech from Mila.
Hi, I'm Mila. I'm starting my second year of mesh program in animal science. I do reproduction in chickens. I recently presented a poster at a conference in Pittsburgh. I graduated from Geneseo in 06, and then I worked for a few years before coming here. I'm an active member in our graduate association in animal science. And I also work in the Pittsburgh Farm, so you might around there. I will also speak up for
All right, thank you, Mila. So I'm going to quickly rip up some pieces of paper here. Oh, thank you. Great. I'll continue ripping up anyway. Thanks, Amy. You're always prepared. Are there any questions for either of our potential candidates for this seat?
Let me do that.
In the meantime. And so, just need to write the first name, and then we'll tie those up. But any questions for the potential representatives? And just let the prospective candidates know if one of you won't be elected to the seat, but if you aren't, you can also run for one of the two at-large positions, which are open to any master's or any PhD. Potential candidates. So, those are the names. And people who vote, Brian, please make sure this to me. If you are a member of the council, if you're a member of the advisory body or a member of the voting council, you can vote. But those are the only people that are allowed to vote. So if you're not currently a member of the advisory body or the voting council, please say your name. When you're done, please pass them towards the center, and the people on the end of the rows, could you please bring them up to Amy O'Donnell?
I'm sorry, I missed what you were saying.
Yeah. Field representatives, vote.
For that at large, you don't have to be a field representative.
Yes.
You do so.
Anyone who wants to be a field representative.
Democracy.
Excuse me.
Yes.
But hopefully we have one at large.
Oh, you're saying for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah
Does anybody have the sign-in sheet?
Okay, folks. So, while those votes are being tallied, I'll take. We're going to hold an election for an at-large member. So we have two at-large seats available. I'm assuming, Neela and Miriam, I'm assuming whichever of you is not elected would like to run for the at-large member. Is that correct? Neela, if you're not. Okay. And Miriam? Okay. Is there anyone else present who would like to run, who is a field representative, who would like to run for an at-large seat to be on the voting council? Yeah, you must be a field representative. Ed? Okay. So we have Ed Strong. And what's that? So has everyone handed in their ballot in the first election? Okay. Good. Thank you. Anyone else? So.
Leon?
Yes. Okay. Ed and Leon. Anyone else? Going once, going twice? Seeing none. If you could please, Ed, I guess since you spoke first, give a 1-minute presentation on why you would like to run for the at-large position and why you think you're qualified.
So I'm a 6-year graduate student, right now representing community development.
Thank you, Ed. Leon, would you like to say a minute on why you would like to run for this position?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Leon, and I'm actually a first-year graduate student here at the PICO program, the Public Administration Program, and I was very involved with community council in my undergraduate college. I spent the last year in Turkey and back in the U.S. About 2 weeks ago, so I'm excited to get started right away. I'm involved in a couple of sports teams on campus, and coached a development frisbee team that involves campus. And I'm looking to get involved with the science and technology policy programs going around on campus.
Thank you, Leon. And I have the results from the first election for the master's student, not necessarily from engineering. And I'd like you to help me congratulate Miriam, our new master's representative. So then, Mila, you have the opportunity to run in this election. Is there anything else you'd like to say? Okay. Very good. So we have three candidates. We have Ed, Leon. Do you want to write down? Yeah. We have Ed, Leon, and Mila. So, can someone give me a? We vote. They write down one name, and we take the one with the two most. The two people with the most on there?
I have three.
Two names.
Yeah.
Oh. Check on the charter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Two ballots. Yeah.
You get two. Take two ballots each, and write down two names.
Yeah.
GPFA, you knew what we want, so we just created a great voting machine for you. Whoa!
I've just extended the 5 minutes. So it'll be fine.
Thanks for being here. I'm going to travel. The Ivy Summit, we thought that some of the strengths of this, the graduate school that we have here, the graduate student government that we would like to present, are on the GCI, which is the Graduate Community Initiative, which was a document, which is available on our website, that we wrote, the GPSA wrote a while ago, I think it was back in spring semester 2007, stating, is it sort of a comprehensive statement of goals that the graduate student has, graduate student body has, and ways that we see like the administration to like proceed forward to help us meet those goals. So if any of you are interested in that, I would encourage you to read some of it, look over sections that interest you, and again, that's available on our website. So we're going to present on that at the Ivy Summit, and another concern that we wanted to check up on was how many other schools are committed to the president, the university president's commitment to climate change, climate neutrality, how many other universities have signed on to that, that are going to be at the summit, and seeing if anything has changed due to the economic situation. Topics we'd like to see discussed at these meetings are how the cut of assistantship in graduate assistantships for teaching and research has affected departments, and if there's any way to proceed forward with that issue from the government standpoint, if there's any message that we want to communicate with the administration about these issues. Another issue was somewhat related, the Reimagining Cornell campaign that Provost Ken Fox is working on right now. We were talking about how the graduate students should become involved in that, perhaps a need for more graduate student involvement since there isn't any currently, and seeing ways that, investing in future ways in which that could occur. And then for suggestions on how to improve these meetings, we considered maybe a change of venue for this meeting, if possible in the future, or perhaps a change of the structuring of the room. To allow for different forms of speech. That's it.
Okay. So now I would just listening to would any of you like to sort of cover what we talked about?
I can do it. So we talked a lot about the topics that would come up at the ID Summit. We one issue which actually hadn't occurred to me but a really good point is that Nyhawk touched on it. I think on the crisis hit, departments are handling it differently. Some departments are enrolling more students to bring in money, while other departments, which were very heavily on PI grants, and as grants are becoming tighter, those departments are actually pushing students out. But what rights do graduate students have? How can graduate students defend themselves as the pressure may be to, hey, don't do anything else other than work in your lab, get out of here in three and a half, 4 years, or the flip side, as your field grows, now you know your education may be getting hit because there's more students in courses, you can't get those courses that you want to do that are impacted. That's something I had thought about, I think that's a very good issue. We also talked about sustainability, how if you go in from on campus, building a barrier between how responsible people are with recycling and energy consumption. I know the building I'm in probably not so responsible, Savage Hall, nobody's gone there. It's actually very dark and dimly lit because they cut the lights, about half the lights in the building to save energy. And so different buildings are handling these things differently. And also student participation. You know, we rely very heavily on what used to be called the Council of Representatives and now the advisory body to get word out to the field and to students across campus, but really most students won't know what's going on campus. And that's partially because, you know, we don't have representatives here from every field, and that's important that we do get as many as possible. But also, you know, we get a number of emails, and sometimes we don't forward those all along, forward all the information along, but there's also, and we should, but there's also probably better tools that we might need to investigate to get more students involved on campus and show us more ideas of how to do that. So I think those are the two questions.
Great, thank you. Okay, number three? Yes.
Start by Ezra. We discussed sort of how to increase the participation and the dissemination of sort of knowledge about what's going on campus to all graduate students so that it's not so varied by field, and also
is to kind of know what other field we're doing. The other issues that were sort of raised as general interest and concern were, of course, checking and on-campus housing for graduate students, how tight and competitive voting those things are. And then the other thing that I've sort of been thinking about recently, that I know Doug Alford last year mentioned a few of you guys were around, was sort of seeing whether or not there's any way to approach Cornell to help graduate students be able to start some sort of 401k retirement savings through Cornell's, you know, sources. So anyway, those are sort of things that we've discussed as either topics to address amongst ourselves or as I think.
Okay, great. The next group four.
We were group four. We discussed two logistical things in terms of how the GPSA and Parallel are structured and what we do as GPSA. And a lot of the topics that we discussed relate to student activities office and various student organizations on campus. And actually, we'll have more questions for you and maybe wrap up afterwards in terms of how the new funding.
Okay. Okay. Group five.
Here you go. Okay. So we had a couple things. Technology. We know there was some comparison to some undergrads, and that you know we were realizing computer labs. We'd like to see four options for that. In terms of grad housing, we'd like to see more information for.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.